So how many of you are waiting for something in life? Everybody's waiting for something. So maybe you're waiting for a package to arrive because, you know, Amazon's pretty slow sometimes. Or maybe you're waiting for an answer to an important question. Maybe some test results. Or maybe an answer to your prayer. James catches the analogy of waiting perfectly in his idea of waiting for your crops. So every year I plant my garden, and I put the seeds in, and I plant these seedlings, and I turn the garden, and I fertilize, and I add some compost, and I put these seedlings in the ground, and then wait. I wait for the rain, I wait for the sun to come and warm the soil. Sometimes there's a frost comes and destroys it, and you start all over again. I'm not very good at waiting. That's my full disclosure on this on this one today, is I don't like waiting. So I get very impatient. And somewhere around June, I start looking at my garden and saying, well, nothing's growing. And how am I supposed to keep up on all these weeds and nurturing all these things and they're not growing, and I have other things to do. So I go cut the grass and I go out for a kayak or a bike ride, and I think it's fine. I'll just leave it for a few days. It'll be fine. Maybe if I ignore it, it'll grow. And so it does grow. The weeds grow, very large. And it becomes overwhelming. So this moment I had of doubt leaves me in a state of overwhelm. It leaves me trying to tend a garden that has fallen behind because I didn't persevere. I didn't stay strong and try to tend to my garden. So waiting is not easy. Persevering and trusting that God will come through is even harder. How do we trust God and not give up? We've learned that through James that God does things in God's time, not our time. So we are often left waiting. So the garden analogy is really good, but it's not necessarily adapted to real life. When we're looking at finding patience in our suffering, a garden is not really about suffering. In Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Wait. James started his letter by saying, find joy within our trials. Most times we find ourselves waiting for that joy. It's difficult to find. We talked about that. We talked about how hard it is to find the joy. And waiting is difficult. So what do we do when we're waiting? In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So if we hope in the Lord while waiting, we will soar, not grow weary, which makes sense. So why is it so hard? So I'd like to take a minute right now and think about those who are in the path of the wildfires right now. There are many people who have been evacuated. There are more people waiting to receive orders. There are people waiting to hear if their loved ones are safe. After the evacuation's over and they've arrived to their new place, they now have to wait and see, did the fire hurt my home? Did it hurt my neighbor's homes? Am I able to go home? When am I able to go home? Now, James says the master could arrive at any time, so we should maybe prepare for the moment. We talked about this a few weeks ago, looking at the meaning of give me oil in my lamp. The brides came, and they had some were prepared. They had extra oil, and some did not. The ones who were prepared and waited patiently for the prince or the groom to arrive and have the party, they were admitted to the party, and those who were not prepared lost out. Now, the wildfires in Canada happen every year between June and September. This year has been particularly brutal. The fires began in March this year and are still blazing. This is a record-setting year for North America. As of yesterday, there were 5,814 fires have burned across Canada. They have destroyed almost 14 million hectares, which is almost 35 million acres of our forest land. That is 4% of Canada's forest land. And it is five times the amount of an average year of burning. The waiting for those people in that path must be painstaking. But you can't give up. They can't give up. It's their home, it's their life, it's their family. They can't just say, oh well, here comes the fires, right? Now, the Canadian Red Cross has a wildfire evacuation plan to help residents prepare for the coming of the fires. The preparation is a process which is very much like our spiritual preparation. It has the same elements in it. We make a plan. We listen. We find knowledge by reading and learning. We seek wisdom. We don't let our guard down. And we don't get complacent. We work with each other and for each other. And we make an emergency kit. All of those things are in the Red Cross evacuation plan. But they're all things that we do in our spiritual journey. We make a plan. We decide we're going to take a spiritual journey. We're going to engage in a regular spiritual practice. And we've been challenging you to listen, not just pray, listen. And James taught us that we shouldn't just listen, we should take action. So when the emergency preparedness team says listen, they mean listen to the radios, listen to the updates, and then do as you're supposed to do. Get your things ready, get your bag ready, get your car ready. When we talk about learning, they have many wonderful websites for these folks to go on to learn how to prepare their homes. There's an online assessment tool that they can learn how to protect their belongings and their homes. For us, in a spiritual practice, that would be reading our Bible. Read the Bible, listen to the Bible, come to church and listen to the readings, look up scripture that applies to your life. They ask you to keep your car fueled and practice your escape routes frequently. And that's where we don't let our guard down. We don't get complacent. If we don't practice our spiritual practice and engage in our spiritual practice on a daily basis, we will get complacent. Just like those weeds in the garden. When I let them go for a couple of days, they just kept coming. And it became overwhelming, and I couldn't catch up again. James asks us to work together, to do things for other people, to care for other people. The Red Cross says, talk to your family and neighbors about what you would do in a wildfire situation. Work together. Find a safe point. Find a safe meeting point. And as I said, our emergency kit is prayer. James told us early on that we should pray with abandon. The Red Cross says that their preparedness kit should last for 3 days. I think that our prayer should last a lot longer than that. But again, it's about practice. So their list seems very practical and logical. And when you look at the pieces alone, they really don't seem that difficult. Yet when we're waiting, we often give up on those practices. We put them aside. We forget to practice so that when we are in a state of turmoil, it doesn't come naturally. So there was another example of this in our Canadian history. On September 11th in 2001, 38 planes were forced to land in Gander, Newfoundland. The small city was suddenly faced with thousands of passengers who needed food, shelter, and amongst a devastating tragedy. Gander's response was so incredible and so well organized that they had a play written about them. And I started looking it up just to sort of see what I could find today. And it turns out that Newfoundland has had an emergency preparedness plan in place for more than 20 years before this. They formed it in the early 80s in response to some plane crashes that had happened. They thought, gee, we should have a plan for this. We're right on the coast. We're sort of a landing point for people. And so what they did is they formed this team and they practiced regularly. It was at least monthly. They would get together and they would run through their plan. They had all the buildings set aside. They knew which buildings could hold how many people, and they had food suppliers. This is all the stuff you don't hear. But the key is that they practiced it regularly for that entire time. So when the day came, they were ready. They knew which buildings to use. They knew where to find the food. It makes sense. We practice fire drills. We practice them regularly so that you know in a panicking situation, in a desperate situation, where to go. Now, over the past several weeks, Mark and I have both given you some challenges to take part in. There were some challenges of being with God. There was a challenge of listening after you pray, stopping and hearing the words. So I've been trying to practice that myself. I've been practicing listening, finding good in the trials. I've also been trying to take action and submit to doing God's will. So what have I learned? It's hard. It's hard to stay the course. It's hard to be strong. There's so many days that I found myself putting the Bible aside to do other things. I don't have time right now. I'll sit down later. I found myself praying and asking for things that I want in life and not stopping to listen. I have complained instead of using gratitude. So our hymn today was excellent for me to have as an example, because it's all about gratitude. It's all about counting those blessings and seeing all the good in life instead of the bad. Now, I'm certain that people facing those evacuations are not feeling necessarily grateful. However, if you think about those people who landed in Gander, they would have been really frustrated, really upset. And then someone reached out and said, here, take a blanket. Here's a meal. Ah, your baby needs diapers? Here's some diapers. Come to our homes. And we're seeing the same thing in Edmonton as Northwest Territories is evacuating. Nearly 50% of Northwest Territories is evacuated right now. That's a lot of people. descending on people in another town, and people are reaching out with kindness. So I wonder if those people who were evacuated are using gratitude. By recognizing the love of God in our lives, we can come to appreciate the good in situations while we wait. Being grateful, seeking wisdom, seeking knowledge in the Word, listening, praying with abandon. These are all actions. And I found that in this study with James that I have been able to move my faith from abstract to more of a concrete by acting on it. I've found it sort of a new light by being able to take action. By engaging in regular spiritual practice, I feel more prepared. I have a new sense of gratitude for the trials and suffering I have faced. And I feel that through that I can rely on God more fully while I wait for my garden to grow. Finding the joy in this practice shows rewards are endless and abundant. This motivates me to persevere, to stay the course, to stay strong and grow like the garden. I have to keep up on the weeds. I have to keep that regular practice, and I have to nurture the soil. I need to have that regular spiritual practice every day. So how are you going to tend your garden?